You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. You'll find us on Facebook, give us a like there, and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com. So there's been a focus this week on the policies and the ideas that surround this 67th state legislative session wrapping up its first week. We're going to look at that. We'll look at things like improving long-term care for our families and our seniors. Man, here's something that's really come into focus. More support for our family caregivers. We're realizing more and more how that's needed. And then later on, with a decidedly Republican majority, how's the minority party going to accomplish some of its agenda items? Senate Minority Leader Jill Kohnauer will come on, discuss those agenda items and plans to move that ball forward today on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio. From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Woo! Call in today at 866-627-5483. Or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now, a man who enjoys a nice, warm bubble bath, it's Tom Schultz.
How did you know?
I don't know. It's just my psychic abilities. Millennials, we have that.
I've got to get those internet cameras out of the bathroom. Hey, thank you, Josh Rath, and thank you for joining us here, two decades strong, working on three. That's Voices of Montana, an objective perspective here. And, Friday, I've been saying this for a long time. The work week, it drags on. It drags on and on. And if you hang in there, then we get this Montana weekend to hang out in. And, that seems to work. It's working out, right? It's all working together. Again, my thanks. Let's get right into it here. Well, first, a bit later on, as I talked about, Jill Kohnauer will join us. She's the Senate Minority Leader, and we need to talk a little bit about what the House and Senate Democrats are going to try to accomplish. Although, as I said, decidedly in the minority, it's going to be quite a different session for them because for the past 16 years, although in the body itself they've been in the minority, they've had the State House. They've had the governor's office. So they've been able to squash conservative or Republican policies that they don't agree with and maybe support and promote some of their own policies. But it's a little bit different this year. So we'll talk with Jill. You look at the main foundations, it's jobs and growing the Montana economy. Well, yeah, I think every conservative organization has had that at the top of their list. So that's probably smart. And then the second foundation is fiscal responsibility. Good. I mean, good. These are what I think more and more Montanans are gravitating to. Come on. You know, our economy affects all of us on a very personal level. And fiscal responsibility, again, I mean, if we're going to be fiscally responsible in our families, we expect the same from our government. So that should be at the top of every party's agenda. And it is for the Montana Democrats. And so Jill Kohnauer will be joining us a bit later on. There's also protecting health care and investing in Montana's future. We'll detail that in just a little bit. I was excited to see some of these agenda items for the AARP Montana state legislative priorities because they've really come into focus. Family caregivers. One of them is here. That we've been doing more and more of managing our loved ones' personal and financial decisions. Could we get some help? Do we need some help from the government? You know, I'm always a little bit leery of the phrase, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help." But if there are things that we can do that can support our family caregivers, especially moving forward, that's going to be great. And then updating Montana's long-term care system policies, another huge focus and another huge drain really on our resources. Let's welcome the Director of Government Affairs. Man, that sounds so official, Mike. Mike Batista for AARP Montana. How you doing, sir?
Good, Tom. Thank you. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Our government affairs need some directing. So I'm glad there's someone on the job.
happy to help.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And you're not from the government. So let's just start off. The first things that really strike me about your agenda, and I should say that we're going to be doing updates on a weekly basis for items from AARP. It affects so many members. I mean, Montana's population is decidedly growing older and older. And so some of these items that we will follow on an official basis on Fridays with Mike. But let's talk about right off. Why don't you talk about how you set this agenda, why these items are important to seniors across Montana.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So we set the agenda based on just the communication we have with our members and even people that are not our members, but sort of the aging population in Montana. We send out survey, have a lot of communication, just trying to establish what our members and older Montanans feel like we should work on in the legislative session. And some of that is based on feedback that we get from our national office, based on our work before Congress. But a lot of it is really just the opinions and the ideas that older Montanans have about what's important to them.
There's, according to information here, about 114,000 Montana family caregivers provided an estimated 96 million hours of care, worth a staggering $1.41 billion in unpaid care. And I think this last year, that maybe that's been a long-term or a long-time agenda item, Mike, but really with what we have went through this last year and anticipate to go through, not only in 2021, but the focus will continue in 2022. That's a very important item.
Yeah, it is an important item. And you know, it's really, and you're right, it's going to be a long-term effort because, as I think all of us know in Montana, if not, there's a lot of information that suggests that we are, have the oldest or the fastest growing older population in the West and one of the fastest growing in the country. And it also takes into account the realization that people are living longer. So their care needs are going to be much greater as they age. And so there are a lot of people that are supporting family members, holding down jobs, but taking care of parents and relatives. And it's a difficult job. It is a very difficult job. So our priority, AARP, is do everything we can to ensure that older Montanans have an opportunity to age in their home. That's the preference. And for a number of reasons. Number one, they have family support, they have friend support, but it's also much cheaper than having somebody go to a nursing home or assisted living facility. The preference for Montana's older population is that they age at home, and who can blame them? And so it's ensuring that they have the adequate services while they're at home. Are there people that can help take care of them? Are there services available that will be paid for through Medicaid? Are there pieces of equipment that will help them be able to stay in their homes? You know, the one thing that's come out of this pandemic that is, I think, is sad, but also very interesting, and it creates a new opportunity for us to change the way we look at long-term services and supports in Montana. And that is just the number of deaths as it relates to COVID-19 and its impact on older Americans and older Montanans. So 40% of all the deaths from COVID-19 have occurred in nursing homes and assisted living facilities. That's a huge number when you think about it. And it really brings into question, is congregate care like that, where you have a facility where people are interacting together in large numbers, is that the best way to care for an aging population? And I think a lot of the research shows that smaller units, much like what you see with St. John's over in Billings, they have a model that has smaller housing units for an older population where they have more interaction, more daily interaction with medical staff and other support staff, is probably the better option. So I think the time is right in Montana to talk about what the vision for long-term services and support should look like.
Boy, I really appreciate that because it was problem and solution as well. So I was going to follow with the what can we do, but you talk about smaller housing units. Like that idea, what else can we do? I mean, what can we codify? What can come out of the legislature that's going to help in this situation?
Well, you know, so one of the things, I mean, we got off to a good start yesterday. There's a House Bill 38, that basically says that, you know, when the Department of Health and Human Services is looking at creating a waiver for somebody, and the way the waiver system works is, you know, Medicaid waivers, traditionally have been set up so that people can be placed in nursing home. But there is a home and community-based waiver that Montana has that allows for services to be delivered at home for people. Now there's a waiting list, and there's some challenges, and House Bill 38 sort of helps with those challenges, and they sort of lie in the area of is there adequate services to be delivered to older residents in their home, and are their equipment needs being met? So basically what the bill says, it directs Department of Health and Human Services to do everything possible to ensure that people that qualify for a waiver that allows them to age at home have the equipment and services they need. It basically says, go the extra mile to make this happen, because we recognize that institutional care is not the preference, and it's very, very expensive. So the other thing that I think is important as we sort of move along and try and work to resolve this problem and make long-term care more suitable for an aging population is to recognize that there are some difficulties with staffing, with workforce development. And people that do this work don't get a lot of credit, a lot of kudos for the work, but it's a very difficult work. I think anybody that's cared for an aging member of their family and tried to hold down a job and all the other demands that life has know that it's a difficult situation. So we really need to focus on workforce development. And some of the things being done around the country is allowing for family or friends to be paid to be caregivers. Mm. And that's an option. And there has been a pretty good response to some discussions I've had with legislators about that. So we'll see where that goes. But it definitely is something that we need to take a look at. And we really would like to be part of the solution, because there's a lot of good ideas around the country that we can steal from and make our own here in Montana.
Mike Batista with us here, Director of Government Affairs for AARP Montana. Long history in Montana, former director of the Montana Department of Corrections, also executive director at the Friendship Center in the past and currently with AARP Montana. As we look at long-term care and our family care, like you say, there's so many things that are needed. I'm appreciating the fresh options here, getting those things over the finish line, like, paying family to be paid caregivers. It's hard to balance that in terms of, is that a government function? Is that a family responsibility? And not break the bank on it. But I think, Mike, right, you'll probably, right. And we only got maybe a minute here, but we'll come back and talk about this. There's probably savings found in doing it at home, as you mentioned.
Yeah, I think there is. I think if you look at the costs of nursing homes and long-term care facilities now, I will say that there will always be a need for those facilities, even though the population is declining. But it is extremely expensive. There is high turnover in those facilities with staff, and it really sort of makes sense that the people that are doing the care can do it in the home and for so much cheaper. I think long term there is a significant savings.
And it's
that approach.
Yeah, and something so important to all of us too, the protection of our families and as you say, becomes quite a difficult strain. Ways that we can help, continuing here. Also, we'll talk about lowering prescription drug prices and economic security for our seniors, as the focus is today on the state legislative priorities for our seniors. AARP Montana with us, Mike Batista, Director of Government Affairs. It's always from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. Will increasing transparency in prescription drugs, will that help lower the cost of prescription drugs? What about capping out-of-pocket costs, especially for life-saving drugs? And then price gouging. Is that happening? We're going to move on to prescription drugs here and making an effect there as we talk about the legislative agenda for AARP Montana. Mike Batista, Director of Government Affairs here. Long history working in a lot of different organizations, as I mentioned, former director of the Montana Department of Corrections here. But I had an automatic reaction, Mike, when I saw that you graduated first from Eastern Washington University in Cheney, and that reaction wasn't "Go Eagles."
That's everybody's reaction. So, although I will say that both my wife and I, our two boys, went to the University of Montana, and a lot of our money went to the University of Montana. So, I'm a Grizz fan.
All right, way to go! It's nice to have
that. I grew up a Bobcat fan, though.
Oh, did you? Okay, yeah. Well, I love them all. I at times I am an Eagles fan, but several times a year I'm not. You know how that goes.
Yeah, understandable.
Anyway, let's talk about prescription drugs, all right? Just launch into it. As I mentioned, price gouging here, you believe that happens, increasing transparency. You think that that's maybe going to have a cost benefit on the rising drug prices. I'm not so sure about that, but what can we do?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, AARP has been working on this issue for the past year, and we've been working on it nationally, but also in Montana. And last session, there were a couple of bills. Most of the focus was on pharmacy benefit managers, which, you know, it's up for question how much of an impact that has on the actual cost of drugs. There are pros and cons to looking closely at that issue and see what the long-term impact on prices is. But I think most people will agree that the price problem lies with the manufacturers and what they charge. So, it can be argued that if you really want to impact that, you have to do it on a national level. But I think there's some things that can be done on a state level. And there have been a lot of states that have sort of registered legislative wins, if you will, on prescription drug pricing, and we would like to be one of those states, because when we survey our members, always at the top of the list is the cost of prescription drugs. And I think everybody knows, you can cite example after example, drug after drug, of where the prices seem pretty outrageous. So the first step is, and it doesn't necessarily change that, but just a tool to understand pricing, and that is increasing transparency to really shed the light on the reasons behind drug prices. Now, you might recall there was a bill last session that almost passed the session. It was by a legislator, Representative Sullivan out of Missoula. There was a lot of support for it. Big Pharma came in with a substantial lobbying office, and the bill didn't make it through in the 11th hour, but it was a really, really good effort on the part of Representative Sullivan and a lot of bipartisan support for a transparency bill. So it'll be another transparency bill. It's a little tighter in some regard. And transparency, really what it does is sort of starts the conversation. You have an idea on what the prices look like and what goes on sort of behind the pricing schedule. You need to start there before you really understand whether or not take transparency to the next level. And that is, now that you know the prices, now that you know what goes into the pricing of these drugs, let's start with the negotiation, price negotiations. And a lot of states have set up boards pricing commissions that will take transparency information and take a look at it, knowing, say, for example, that state government spends X amount of drugs on X amount of money on prescription drugs, you are better able to do some negotiation. I know that when I was at Department of Corrections spends a lot of money on prescription drugs in institutions. And if we had the ability to negotiate, which is something that, you know, that has been before Congress, is just that ability to negotiate the prices, there may be some positive results. So transparency is sort of the first step. And then the capping out of pocket costs for life-saving drugs just makes so much sense. And insulin is one of them. I have family members that are type 1 diabetics that are insulin dependent. And if we didn't have the insurance that we have, it would be a real drain on our budget. to buy insulin. So you look around and you look around at places in Canada where you can go up and buy insulin for much, much cheaper than you can here in the United States. And if you look at what the cost of insulin was many years ago, everybody, including the industry, will say there have not been a lot of changes in the product to warrant increased prices, and they're cheap prices. So insulin is an example for diabetics, but there are also necessary cancer drugs and other type of diseases where the prices are unbelievable.
Yeah.
So those are two of the areas that,
No, I appreciate that. That's a, that's sort of a different component too from the research and development it takes to get to these drugs. And I worry, and I'll ask the question, we'll do it after the break, Mike, and if you can hang on, and Jill Cohenour is going to join us here as well, Senate Minority Leader, and she might want to weigh in on this discussion regarding prescription drugs, because I know healthcare is part of their agenda too. Help that is needed. But if there's not a big payoff, then there's the fear that there won't be continuing research in these things. So I guess you walk one foot in front of the other and try to get to both feet at a good place at the same time. We'll take a quick break and we'll come on back and discuss more about prescription drugs and lowering the cost. First, here's Brian Bennett with headlines.
Governor Greg Gianforte released his first state budget Thursday. He proposed a $100 million reduction over outgoing Governor Steve Bullock's proposed spending plan. The plan will cut the top marginal individual income tax rate from 6.9% to 6.75%, which Gianforte said would affect about half of the state's taxpaying residents. The coronavirus pandemic created a spike in the number of Montanans who need food assistance and the volume of people who needed it for the first time. Last year, one in every 10 Montanans received help from a pantry in the Montana Food Bank Network, and more than 40% said they had never sought that help before. Former U.S. Marshal Rod Ostermiller has been appointed the new executive director of the Mental Health Center in Billings. The organization has been serving the needs of the region since 1971, focusing on the establishment, development, and maintenance of high-quality mental health and chemical dependency care in South Central Montana. With Montana News Headlines, I'm Brian Bennett.
Open for time here to finish up with some of these other agenda items, economic security and fighting elder abuse and fraud, but continuing on with lowering prescription drugs, Mike Batista here, Director of Government Affairs for AARP Montana, and standing by Jill Cohenour, Montana's Senate Minority Leader. Mike, I wanted to pick right back up there regarding pharmacy companies invest billions and billions of dollars over years and years of time, and a lot of those drugs don't even make it to the pharmacy counter. How do we ensure that the research continues? If we subsidize all the drug making, I have a very serious concern then that the research is not going to continue and we're not going to move forward in healthcare.
No, that's a great question. I appreciate that. So I guess my response to that is that a lot of the research is paid by the government. It's sort of like my comment about insulin. Many of at least the life-saving drugs that we have not changed in many years. So why the increase? I think I have a great appreciation for what pharma does in terms of research, but I think we just have to recognize that a lot of that research has been paid for by the government. And other countries that do research also have reasonable drug prices. So there is sort of a balancing act. I have appreciation for what big pharma companies do, but I also understand and appreciate that a lot of the funding that goes into research is by the federal government and by taxpayers.
I think a lot of people are worried about the security of their pensions, Mike.
Yeah.
You're right. How do we shore it up? How do we shore up pensions?
It's one of those things that we will be watching in the session. You know, and if changes are needed, they should be fiscally responsible and should protect both the long-term viability of benefit plans and financial security of retirees. And so we do watch that. Montana's retirement system, I believe, has been well managed. The folks that have worked for pensions deserve it. They've worked for it. And our goal is just to make sure that, you know, we're consumer, we work for the consumers. We pay attention to consumer issues as it, you know, reflects on, as it as it affects the populations that we serve and we advocate for. And so that's something that we're going to keep an eye on. And the economic security of the state pension system is vitally important to a lot of our members.
We got just a few seconds here. Is it in jeopardy?
Well, you never know. I think every legislative session, every change in administration, you sort of wait and see. I mean, there will be challenges moving forward with state government budgets as a result of the virus, local government budgets, most definitely. So all the issues are on the table, and you sort of sit back and wait. And
Mike, thank you so much for your time. We'll be checking with you in next Friday.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.